Welcome, everybody. It's time once again for another episode of the only show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach, Doug Gefeller. Hey, Doug.
Hey, Paul. Glad to be back in studio, and what a great show last week. It was really a treat to have you as our guest.
I really enjoyed it. And it reminded me of how powerful this medium is.
Yeah. Well, look, welcome to today's episode of the Coaching Perspective Radio Show. I'm your host, Doug Gefeller. I'm a Master Certified Coach by the International Coach Federation, and I've been coaching leaders and their teams for 21 years, helping them to clarify their objectives and reach their goals. If you'd like to know more about my coaching services, just go to the website, thecoachingperspective.com. Well, our topic for today is podcasts, social media marketing, and frog's legs. If you heard last week's show with Paul Roberts on internet radio and the power of podcasts, then you'll understand why we're taking a deeper dive into the subject today. If you didn't hear last week's show, you can still hear it by going to our website and listening to the podcast. Oh, by the way, we're really not going to be talking about frog's legs. That just popped into my mind. I think it was because Paul was wearing shorts and you'd have to see his legs to get that one. Well, you know, one of the key takeaways from last week was the recognition that once you're done creating a podcast, you're not really finished. In fact, you're just getting ready to get started with your marketing. Having a podcast is like having a secret in that nobody else knows it and really doesn't care about it. While I'm going to be talking about podcasts, I think the same truths hold for any other social media content that you create. It's only as good as the results that it'll produce, and that's the first step that you should be taking even before creating the podcast or any other content. What is your objective going to be? Is it to take an order? Is it to become known? Is it to encourage people to take an action, such as visiting your website, calling you on the phone, trying out a sample of your services or product, or is it just to become well known? If you don't know exactly what you're shooting for, then you'll never hit the target. Now, admittedly, you'll also generate some actions that you were not shooting for, and that may be just fine. That's on the peripheral. So let me give you an example. My objective with the weekly radio show is twofold. One, to make business executives aware of my services and provide information on my website that they would be interested in so they'll think of me when they need a coach. And two, to make coaches who do not do business coaching aware of me so they can refer clients to me with confidence that they'll be taken well care of. That's the two objectives, and every show, every guest, every social media post needs to be done with those two things in mind. Now, let me sort of a disclosure here, truth in lending kind of disclosure. When Paul and I did the show last week, it became sort of painfully aware to both of us as we were talking that some of the things that we were saying that you need to do are things that maybe we don't do anymore or maybe we didn't ever do. And so as I got ready for today's show, I realized that some of these things I'm going to talk about are things I need to start doing. So I'm not going to embarrass myself and identify for you everything I don't do, but let's just say these are all best practices. Well, look, when you're talking about knowing what your objective is, this brings up the subject of push versus pull marketing. Push marketing pushes information towards people, asking them to buy your product or service or visit your location or site. And the radio show live is primarily push marketing because we don't know who's listening. We don't target for a specific individual. It's on the air Thursdays, 4 o'clock, and we push out the material to whoever happens to tune in. Now, pull marketing is different from push marketing. Pull marketing is attracting people to your site or location to buy, and you do that with a specific targeted campaign to the groups that you think are the ones that will satisfy your objectives. It's when you make it really easy for your prospects to find you. Pull marketing can be blogging, podcasts, social media posts, webinars, even email campaigns. It implies that you're talking to a group that's likely interested in what you have to offer versus sort of the shotgun approach of push, which is to just fire at everybody and hope that somebody there in the path of the fire is going to pull the trigger and buy what you have to offer. Pull means we go to them or where they are at. And some examples are posting to groups where the members are our target audience. Now, you know, we so often, when people get done with a podcast, they post it to Facebook or LinkedIn or whatever sites they're using. Push marketing, because it's going out to everybody. Pull marketing is when you post it to a specific targeted group. So if I post the radio show to one of the coaching groups and I make some comment when I post it about how this is about certification for your coaching or how to get clients for coaching or whatever, that's pull marketing, because I've targeted who I want to talk to. I've made them aware of the content, and I'm hoping that as a result, I've made it very easy for them to find me and come back to me and either refer something or purchase services. As clear as that may have been, you can see that the distinctions are kind of blurred. And in reality, a good marketing program is going to use both methods. So again, using the radio show as an example, when I invite a guest to be on the show, I encourage them to post on social media and let their audience of clients know, one, that they're going to be on the show, two, hey, that they were just on the show, and three, that the show's now up as a podcast and they should listen to it. Now, why am I pushing the guest to do those posts? Because this expands my influence to people that I don't even know. And it gives me the benefit in that introduction when the guest posts the podcast, having been on this show, it's sort of like I've got a third-party referral by implication there. Is it pull marketing? I think it's pull marketing, because now they're going to come to me if they're interested in what I have to offer. And guess what? I didn't have to do anything with it at all. So if you're podcasting or doing some webinars or some other type of social media where you've got other people participating with you, get them to get active in the posting, because they've got the access to groups and people that you don't know. Now, maybe you could get access to them, but they don't know you. So, you know, that email or that comment is going to get thrown away. Now, when I send out an email blast, I call it my newsletter, to my contact list about the show and the guest, this is really push marketing, since it's going out to 2,500, 3,000 people. It's a wide audience, only some who may be interested in today's show. But when I send out an email to a client or prospect saying, hey, you should listen to the show we did last week with Paul, because he talks about an issue that you've got or that we've discussed, this is now pull marketing, because it brings them to me. It's to a target audience. Are you starting to get the picture here? You can take the same material and you can shotgun it out to everybody, or you can get more targeted, sending it to people that are more likely to want to use your services or refer your services or whatever your objectives were. Now, when I post the podcast on my website, it's push, since I have no idea who may drop by the website and listen. However, when I list the shows by specific categories, or I place key tags on the show so that you can search for coaching shows or marketing shows or internet radio or podcasting, that becomes pull marketing, because people are coming to me because I've made it easy for them to find what they're interested in. You know, this goes back to the old sales talk we used to have, where people sold features and benefit. I met you, I didn't find out anything about you, I just immediately launched into my features and benefit sales pitch, telling you everything that I do and why it was great. And today we've realized that that's the wrong way to sell. People don't want to take the time to hear about things they're not interested in. So today what we do is we ask questions, we identify what people are interested in, and then we tailor our marketing pitch, if there's still an opportunity, to fit what their needs are, rather than, you know, telling them about the great mileage-saving car I've got here on the lot to sell them, when they're in there looking for a convertible that's going to attract people. You know, much like networking, when you go out and you do real networking, you go to an event for the evening, You know, the key to real networking is your approach is to first offer the stranger, the person you're meeting, something to help them before you can begin to think of asking them to help you. Typically, you start out, well, how can I help you? After you've, you know, exchanged some information. The same is true for social media, and I see very few people practicing this. Before you start posting to groups trying to get them interested in what you do, first try responding to their posts by offering information or direction that would help them with the issue that they posted. This is not about offering your service right away. This is about the step in the relationship. You know, it's the courtship. So even in social media, as in networking, you have to earn the right to sell your wares. And you do that by helping other people. You know, the power of social media is not about broadcasting, but it's about what people are calling narrowcasting. It's the ability to sort through everyone on the internet, let's say everybody in the world, to find only those that fit your target audience and then start to work on a way to develop a relationship with them that is the real goal, not just creating content. And we talked about this last week, and it really, I'd encourage you to go back and listen to the interview with Paul, because he made a really good point about, you know, we keep thinking it's all about creating content, and it isn't. You know, content is like filling the bucket in case there's a fire, but never throwing the water on the fire. So it's about creating the relationship. You know, my goal with the radio show and the podcast is not to develop an audience of hundreds of thousands of people. That would be nice. But it's to have an audience primarily of people who fit my two key objectives, which, remember, were who needs my services and who can refer clients to me. Note that I said primarily, since there'll always be other audiences that will benefit both them and me. So, you know, you shoot for a specific targeted audience, and along the peripheral of that target, you're going to pick up other people that match with you, but you couldn't have identified that. For instance, I've enjoyed interviewing new coaches on the show just because I like helping them and I like being around their enthusiastic attitude about coaching, but not because they have clients to refer to me. So they don't meet my target, but hey, they're on the peripheral and I love doing it. I love having my clients as part of my audience since it broadens their awareness of coaching and may create positive impressions of me based on the people I have on the show. You remember what Mom and Dad said? You know, you're judged by the people you hang around with. Why are you hanging around with that guy? Well, that's kind of what the show's about. I want to hang around with impressive people, knowledgeable people, intelligent people, and you might make the mistaken assumption that I'm like that too. You know, also the show may provide coaching insights to my client, and if it does, it didn't cost me any time or money, but I'm still going to kind of get credit for it. So all of these are things that you need to think about and be aware of that take place some before and some after your podcast. Now, if we're talking about podcasts or social media posts, it doesn't make any difference if it's push or pull if you don't have good content that's presented in an attractive way, in a way that you can build relationships. And how can you build relationships with people visiting your site if you don't know who they are? Why do you think it is that every site we go to says, I'll give you a free book if you give me your email address? Give me your email address, I'll send you my newsletter. Now, unfortunately, so many times what I end up with when I run into those sites is I get a free ebook that I can download, or I get enrolled on their newsletter, but they never go the next step of following up with me. They never go the next step towards creating that relationship because they're focused on, I've now added another 100 people this week to my newsletter list, or I've handed out 300 ebooks. You know, I hate it when I get those LinkedIn or Facebook messages that say, thanks for being my friend. We should start a conversation. And that's it. Well, you invited me. Do you know anything about me? Why don't you take the initiative and start the conversation with some open-ended questions? You just kind of leave it to me. You were the one that made the offer to begin with. You know, I read an article recently where the author suggested that every week you pick five people to start building a relationship with using all of your social media tools. Send them an email, look at their Facebook site, look at their LinkedIn site, look at their Twitter site, retweet their stuff, repost their stuff, share their materials, make comments on what they're doing. You know, if only half of those people, remember, five a week, if only half of them responded positively to your efforts, at the end of 3 months, you'd have 30 new real relationships. Now, that sounds like a lot of work when we typically talk about how many hundreds of friends do you have on Facebook. You know, I've got, I don't know, how many hundreds of LinkedIn and Facebook friends, many of whom I don't recognize the names. I've never had any contact with them. They asked to be a friend. I said yes. Maybe they're adamant listeners, but shame on me. I've never followed up with them either. Shame on them. They never followed up with me. You know, there's a lot of work that goes into this, a lot of work that has to be done for it. You know, when I'm starting to work on a podcast, I have to identify what are the categories that this podcast fits in so that when you search my website, you can find it. I have to figure out what tags do I want to hit this podcast with, and they need to be tags that are consistent with the words in the title of the show and consistent with the words that are in the description of the show, because those tags are the way Google uses their analytics and uses their logarithms for people to find me. I need to include in my podcast summary links so that people can get more information and find out more about the subject. They're already there. They've already said, Doug, I'm interested in this show last week. This guy, Paul Roberts, talked about podcasting and internet radio. Where else can I find more information on that? Can I, you know, the more I can provide them now that they've arrived, the more the likelihood is we're going to start to build a relationship. I need to make sure that when I post my podcast, there's a short description to attract the listeners. You know, I was thinking about this and I realized I read 3 or 4 books a week. And for me, one of the greatest things in the world to come along in recent years is I now, you know, as much as I like real books, I read everything using my iPad. And I purchase 90-some% of my books through iTunes, iBooks. And the reason I do it is because I can download a sample chapter and figure out whether I really want to buy this book or not. Now, even though I'm reading 3 or 4 books a week, I've never really counted up how many I start and don't bother with because I read the sample chapter and it wasn't worth the $2, the $17, the $45 to buy the book. You know, I don't think I'm that different from everybody else. We're all in a big rush. We want to read the cliff note to figure out whether this is worth it. Who goes to the show anymore without having listened either to the review on TV about how good or how bad or what this show is about, or going to the internet and listening to the trailer and looking at the trailer for the movie? You need with your podcast to find a way to quickly describe why the listener should take the time out of their busy day to listen to this. It's a summary. You need to put some highlights, some takeaways. You know, we've recently started to identify that we typically keep the summary of the show and the takeaways fairly short so that, you know, you can quickly identify whether you want to listen to the show. But now we're debating about, should we make it longer? Should there be a long version? You know, you hit that more, you want to read more. So that, because that more will give us a greater rating and allow more searchability and move us up in the Google categories. Graphics, you know, we're posting an audio recording. You know, where is your mind while the audio is filling your ears? What are you looking at? And we found that the podcasts, the popularity of the podcasts, in some cases goes beyond just what the material is. It goes to how catchy was the title? Was the title of the podcast something that attracted somebody to pay a few more seconds of attention to decide whether they wanted to listen to it? And did we have any graphics showing up there along with the podcast that caught somebody's eye as they went through things? I'm not a huge Facebook fan, but I have to tell you, when I do sit down to look at my Facebook pages, I'm pretty much skimming, looking for the pictures. And when a picture hits my eye, then I stop and read. Now, again, social media posts. Okay, so you've got the podcast. Are you done? No, you've got to make people aware of it. This is where we move from the world's best kept secret to joining the world of commercial satisfaction. I need to post prior to the show. Who's going to be on the show? What are they going to talk about? I need to post after the show. Hey, great interview, great podcast coming up in a couple of days. I need to post saying, hey, the podcast now available. If you missed it last week, here it is. I need to post to specific groups or people that I know who may be interested in this particular show. And I need, of course, to do a mass push posting to my Facebook page, both personal and company, to LinkedIn, to Twitter, to Instagram. All of those things take me more time, almost, than the editing of the show itself. But they are just as important. They can't be cut short. You know, again, it's all about using this for relationship. Remember, the objective here is not to produce content, not to fill up your site with 7 million podcasts, not to say that 5,000 people listen to it, but to figure out, did I achieve my objective of either selling services or getting referrals? Did I build a relationship? Because today may not be the right day for somebody to buy my services or to give me a referral. So my relationship building means I have to have what I call a SIT program. Not my term, but I've stole it and I'm going to use it. It means stay in touch, S-I-T. What is my stay in touch program with the guest after they've been on the show? And what is my stay in touch program with people that commented on the show, that said they liked it or they listened to it? You know, do I follow up with them? You know, do I follow up and ask for something specific? Do I follow up and ask if there's a way in which I can help them? You know, we have to get really creative here, and we have to get creative with social media. You know, we don't normally think of this as social media, but it was kind of funny. Just before the show today, I picked up the mail in the latest issue of Choice Magazine, which is a magazine on professional coaching, had come in the mail. And I just had time to sort of thumb through it. There's a section there that's called Coaching Tools, and they let people, there's a couple of reviewers that write reviews on tools that you can buy to help your coaching. And there were two tools in there that I thought, hey, this is really interesting. So I kind of marked them on the page, and I went through and flipped through the rest of the book. And when I got done, I thought, you know, I probably should go purchase those two tools right now, because if I put this book aside, I'm going to forget about it and I won't remember it. So I went back to the page and I read the review, and I thought, well, this is crazy. There's no information here about how I buy this tool. And then I noticed at the top of the page, two sentences. It says, links to product reviewed by Marcy are available at, and then it gave her website. Was that not clever? What she did is she provided the review, provided the information. She's not trying to take a cut of the revenue. But if I want to buy this tool, I've got to go to her website to find out where to buy this tool. Now I'm going to get to know a little bit about who Marcy is. And while I'm there, I guess I'll probably browse her website and see what she does. And is there something we should be doing together? You need to get creative with your information. You need to go beyond the podcast, beyond the post, beyond the webinar, beyond whatever it is you're doing in social media, and get clear about what your objective is and get creative about how can you build a relationship with people that are likely to buy your services or products. Because most of us aren't selling something on the internet that somebody's going to instantly buy. I sometimes wish I was Amazon, where I could post a picture, a couple of reviews, and people would just start buying my services. But that isn't the way it is. Those are my thoughts about podcasting, about social media marketing, and nothing about frog legs. But, you know, we've covered the rest of it. So let me just say, this is a short show today, but this is an important one, and I thought it really, I wanted to do it right away and follow up with Paul's great interview last week. You really should listen to it. It is the Bible on podcasting as far as I'm concerned. Well, if you're listening to our podcast, then thanks for visiting our website, thecoachingperspective.com. Be sure to check out our archives for other shows with great guests. And speaking of guests, we're always scheduling guests for the show, so just send me an email, doug@thecoachingperspective.com, or go to the website, and there's a place on the website where you can say you want to be a guest. Well, look, I hope you've enjoyed the show today. Our goal, as always, is to have discussions that provide you with new ideas and information that you can put to use immediately to identify and achieve your goals. And I do mean immediately, because if you don't start putting some of these things into practice, you're just going to go on with the same old, and expect to get different results. And we all know that's the definition of insanity. Well, I'll be back with you again next week. Have a great evening.
You've been listening to another episode of The Coaching Perspective, the only show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, with your host, Master Certified Business Coach, Doug Gefeller.